Hospitalitychain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, Hospitalitychain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace. What if the most dreaded restaurant side task could be done in seconds instead of hours? My guest today built a machine to make that happen. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Fell Into Food podcast. I am your host with the most, Chef Jeff Fell. And with me today is Evan Degnan. Didn't screw that up, huh? Founder and CEO of Alpha Made It, the company behind Roller Express, a first-of-its-kind machine that automates one of the most repetitive tasks in all of hospitality, rolling silverware. Evan's journey started in the dish pit in a small Italian restaurant where he saw firsthand how much time and labor went into the little things that kept service running. That spark led him from student entrepreneur at Ohio State to building partnerships with major industry players like Cameron Mitchell Restaurants and Wasserstrom, turning a simple idea into a patented product, now making life easier for restaurants across the country. So Evan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it. That was a killer intro, man. I was like, that's badass right there.
Yeah, there you go. So people who don't know Alpha Made It yet, how do you explain what Roller Express does in a single sentence?
Yeah, Roller Express simplifies the automation of silverware, the process of rolling silverware, and what would normally take you hours to roll silverware gets condensed down to minutes and seconds.
Yeah, it's a giant pain in the ass. Nobody wants to do it. Everyone hates it. And then if you hate it so much, you end up buying like pre-wrapped, you know, but then you're going with cheap plastic and not the good stuff. You know, when someone hears automated silverware rolling, they probably smile. You know, what reaction do you love seeing most when you demo it or you're saying, hey, guess what? You're not going to have to do this anymore.
So it's a couple things. One, I don't know if you know this or not, but I was reading, and don't quote me on this in particular, but I think it's like 10% of the U.S. labor force has been employed in some form of restaurant or retail sector within some point of their life. So you have people that are in the industry, who used to be in the industry or know someone in the industry that like always talks about it. So I always get the personal stories. Like that's one of the big things. The other one is like, people are like, wow, that hasn't been a thing yet. Like, I thought that would be something pretty obvious to create. And the third one is like, wow, that's like real, like value creation, so to speak, you know, in a world full of like, you have to like consistently explain what you do to people, right? Like I can dumb it down for like a 10-year-old, like, oh, machine doesn't have to do X, Y, Z. A machine does X, Y, Z for me. You know what I mean? So those are probably the three most common ones. And then off of that, I get a barrage of questions past that.
Yeah. You've shared before the idea started back, you know, in your dishwashing days. But what was the feeling in that moment, right? What, were you frustrated, curious, or was there just something else that sparked it?
Well, it really was trying to get, like when you're a dishwasher, you're in like the zone flow state, right? And like I got to the point where I was able to do a pretty decent sized volume for like one person, right? And that would require for me to chunk things, right? Which is funny enough, I do that now with my life. But it would always be like a breakup of workflow process. And it was like, God, Nicole or Abby or like Ashley or whatever, like I'm trying to like focus right now, but then I was like, I took a step back or like, why are they so adamant on this? Right. Like, why are they like, and then I started to think about it. Like I would go out and like to the restaurant just to see what's going on, see how many like tables are left to see what the workload would look like if I had a second. Right. And I'd see them sitting and then I'd come back in like an hour. And they'd still be sitting there, like, and I'm like, and I know they enjoy the place, but they don't enjoy the place that much, right? And so I'm like, why are they still there, right? And I'm like, huh. And then it, like, for me, it became, I was saying, like, back of house means back of mind in society, right? Because, like, a lot of people don't truly appreciate, like, how things get to even the table, right? A lot of times, right? And so I'm like, wow, there's something there. There's like a human quality of life aspect tied to it too. And I know rolled silver isn't the easiest thing to translate to folks, but I knew like an hour or two or three of someone's life is a very easy value proposition. And I'm like, where anything where you can condense time is valuable. So that's kind of more or less how it like came about, so to speak.
Yeah. So when you got that spark, right? Like, what made you decide, you know what, I'm actually going to build a whole business around this? Was it just to provide the solution, or did you know that there was something there?
Well, I always say confidence is an earned trait. So, and I'd like to say what went in this cute little sequential path, right? But it was like, the reality is like, I'd get some feedback here and then nothing. And I get some feedback here that would like basically like stack the building, so to speak, and like build a pyramid of like my belief, so to speak, right? And like my conviction and reason to actually build upon it, right? And like with each additional proactive step that I took towards it, started to like get the belief going a little bit more. It'd be feedback from like people in the industry or people like in general entrepreneurship, or yeah, like they agree with me, so to speak. And it was like, okay, I know in my own thoughts that this is an issue, but it's good to hear like people in the industry, right? And then as time went on, I started to talk to the managers, and I started to talk to the wait staff, and then I started to talk to the manager, and then I started to talk to the GM, and then I started to talk to the operators, and then I started to talk to distributors. And I'm like, wow, everyone in the value chain is telling me this is a good idea. So therefore, like, there's something there. But like, it really started with one and kind of a half glass full mindset of like, this could be more like opportunistically.
So you have the concept, right? You're like, okay, I know I have something that could fix it, but like, what are the first steps? Like, I've always wondered this when people were building like physical things. Did you build it out of plastic? Did you just have a welder and you're trying to like, how do you even go about that?
Well, I mean, it is as rudimentary as it gets. Like, I would Google like how to build a product, how to start a business, like how to engineer a product. And I went down like the rabbit hole on articles on Reddit, on YouTube, conversations, everything more or less. And then like, there's like more or less, there's three common paths, right? I mean, there's a bunch of paths, but the three is like, you could build it yourself. But I didn't really have a whole lot of engineering background, right? So I'm like, I might be lost in the dark on that one. I almost contemplated about going back to college to do engineering, but I was like, even if I go back for mechanical, I still need electrical expertise in order to build this, right? So I'm like, man, I'm looking at years and years and years and everything. The other one was trying to find partners, which I did, but like a lot of them didn't want to work past five, or they had other prior commitments and everything too. And then the third one, which I stumbled upon, was engineering design firms, right? Which like you can raise capital and then they'll build the product idea out for you, right? I've since learned in my street smarts has picked up on the fact that there's even more efficient ways to go about it. Mm. Now I know the process is lead with customers, get some like letters of intent, get some like real market validation of like real dollar signs of like, I would buy this type of deal, and then take it to engineering groups as well as manufacturers that would like benefit from like the upside of it all too, right? Or raise capital once you have enough LOIs too, or at least POs that could cover like the development efforts too, right? And if I were to accelerate the process now, because like, man, I didn't know. I really did not know. I was shooting in the dark and everything. I just knew that I wanted to get it done, and like plan B was another way to make plan A work more or less. And like that led to like being resourceful is more important than having resources, so to speak. And mm-hmm. It took a lot of tinkering and running my head up against the wall, getting hit, falling back down. All right, maybe not that turn, going around the other side of this maze to see if this wall takes me to a different end, you know, kind of a lot of mess ups, mistakes, and time, honestly. Yeah. I'd like to say it took like a week, but it didn't, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's never going to, right? And it's always the, do you put the chicken before the A, right? You always want to have customers in the wing and waiting and say they'll buy. But at the same time, then said customers are like, well, I need to see prototype. I need to see how it's going to work, footprint. Mm-hmm. How's it going to work?
Yeah.
So it's always a balance and a fight between which do you get first? You know, do you have kind of POs in the wing or do you have the capital to, you know, like you said, to kind of get something prototyped to like then get someone to see it and say, okay, now I see how this is going to work. You know, it's always a battle between the two when you come with a new product. You know, what's one of those hurdles that you ran into? You said you were hitting your head against the wall that you didn't see coming.
Man, like when I was first coming up with it, it was just more or less like, how do I, well, one, the expertise. I mean, I could just list them off like crazy. Do they have industry expertise? Could they actually even build what I'm trying to build, so to speak? Costs, like more or less, is the project like fee based? Is it performance based? Is it milestone driven? Is it budgetary driven? What type of implementation do they need from me? Do they need like how involved is involved? Right? Do they need like actual engineering parts source and everything, and then they more or less do batch work, so to speak. And then just work on the actual like assembly process in and of itself, or do I need to like recruit them even further to figure out like what widget could accomplish this motion? But I already figured out these motions. There's so many things. I mean, the roadblocks are just more or less like kind of getting out of the way of your own head and thought of like, I don't know. More or less like action kind of cures anxiety, I've learned too over time, and just asking enough questions, so to speak. Like we're always taught in school, like don't ask questions, right? But strangers have everything you want, right? And questions divulge to answers, right? And I'm trying to meet new strangers and figure out answers, because that's where all the opportunity lies. Because at the baseline of where I'm at, I'm introduced to what I have right now. And in order to grow on top of that, I have to meet new faces, build new connections, and get new answers to questions, right? And so I think it's just a mindset too of like how can I really learn too? And then take it like it could be, and then it's industry specific, right? And then you have to understand like certifications, like all that too as well. So
no, yeah, I love what you said. Yeah. I love what you said with asking questions and seeking the answers, because to your point, we are taught like keep your mouth shut. And even if you have a question, and people say no question's a dumb question, but sometimes you ask that question, then people make you feel dumb rather than just asking the question. And I've learned same thing is if you're more vulnerable and you can like be humble and swallow your pride and be like, I don't know what I don't know. So if I can find somebody who has an answer, I am more willing to swallow my pride and say, show me, right? Please show me. I mean, I've gone down a rabbit hole of dry aging, different various meats. I'm focusing on fish right now. And there's a whole lot that I don't know. And that's why I'm watching, reading, asking. I'm like, if you have the answer, please tell me so I can then try to implement.
Right? Yeah, no, I mean, my whole thing is like when people say it's a dumb question, right, is I care about the ramifications of me not speaking up, right? And so if I have a question that's burning the back of my mind and I don't have the confidence or whatnot in order to speak up to, and I just go with my previous intuition as opposed to like some newfound thought process, then I could be completely led astray. And then that could affect like financially, mentally, physically, like a bunch of things too, right? So I care more about the ramifications of what the outcome that I'll get if I like go through the correct process as opposed to the wrong process, as opposed to what someone's opinion of me is based on like what, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like,
They're not going to care about what you asked tomorrow. They have their own life, their own everything. They're going to be like, okay, great.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it, honestly, it says a lot about the other person too, if they have an issue with another person asking a question too, right? You know what I mean? Like I, when someone asks a question when I'm out in public or private or whatever too, I just kind of, I don't know, take a step into my own little world and let them finish out their thought process. And then I come back and engage, right? I'm not like, who the hell is this guy being a dumbass and not knowing everything that he needs to know? Like, I don't
So when you're going through this, you know, I'm sure there were moments where you thought, you know, Alpha made it, not going to make it. You know, was there one specific time you thought that? And then how did you just push through that?
Oh, geez. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I've had to change up the... I had six different reroutes before I actually got the product made and everything through different engineering groups, partners, whatnot have you, and everything. Company, like just business stuff, just in general, too. I'm thankful I didn't make fatal decisions, but there are a couple that it could have been not fatal, but definitely ill-advised and off course, so to speak. I mean, man, just like the general like identity, I always tie back to this one, like the identity of like, I can be like an entrepreneur, and like a CEO and inventor and actually build a product and everything too. Cause like, I mean, I didn't really have any like reason to believe it. And I didn't really have anybody like around me to like point as like a case study for like any source of like conviction, like other than just sheer will and audacity. Right. So like, I mean, that's a good portion of it. Honestly, that's probably one of the hardest things is just like molding myself into the person that can actually be who I want to be and everything, and not constantly talking myself out of it, thinking like, man, there's got to be an easier way or this. Like, I'll never forget, like, the first time I went to the National Restaurant Association show, like was like 6-7 years ago. And I remember like seeing manufacturing companies, right? I'm like, man, I'm so in over my head. Like, I don't really know what to do. Like, I'm just lost, you know? But I'm like, I'm glad that I didn't like completely let that shut me down, so to speak. But it very easy well could have, you know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 It can be the fear of, I can't make it. I'm not going to do it. There's all these other big players. But earlier you said, you know, action cures a lot of the anxiety, just push through it and do it. Because if you really think about it, a lot of these big companies, they started off somewhere. They started off with some products, somehow, and then it grew into what it was. It's not like it happened overnight. It took time to build into what they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so with a couple of like, you know, you got a couple good partners now, like I mentioned in the intro, Cameron Mitchell Restaurants, Wasserstrom, you know, how have those collaborations really helped shape how the Roller Express is today?
Yeah. Well, I mean, being industry stalwarts in their own respective rights, has definitely, introduced like thought process of how it is at scale too. Right. Cameron being an exceptional operator gives me that kind of 30,000 foot viewpoint to like think more like a like CEO, so to speak, and everything too, as opposed to constantly being in the weeds. So set course on like vision. Been very like what are the actual like needle movers, so to speak, right? That's another one too as well. And just general industry insight too, like from not only like idea creation, so to speak, but like how and what are the best ways to go into market. Like I have a rep that brought Northwestern Medical Center to the table, right? And I didn't even know what a manufacturing rep was, you know what I mean? So it's like stuff like that, you know what I mean? But then like there's the whole like industry of like rebates and all that, and like tied to margins and stuff like that too, which is a never ending process, right? And like, hey, make sure to play nice in a sandbox with XYZ as opposed to XYZ, because like you want to make sure that they're on your good side for a lot of reasons too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's like a lot of There's a lot of games in that space with between all the different groups and all the mouths that have to be fed. And yeah, if you don't play chess in the sandbox, you can get blackballed really easily.
Yeah, of course. Because I mean, it's a competitive nature because like they're going after like the world's strongest accounts and everything too, with like real firepower and brand legitimacy behind the organizations they represent, right? And so it makes sense that there's like that more or less like stringent process tied to it. But you do need to be aware of it too. You know what I mean? You can't just like be like, I'm holier than thou and I'm just to ignore it. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you built a unit. You know, when you put one of these in an actual restaurant or an establishment, you know, what changes first? The time savings, is that the first thing they notice, or is it the staff morale, or a combination of both, or something else?
So I think the time savings for sure, but I think it's just a general like ecosystem piece as a whole too. I mean, particularly the staff. I mean, rolling silverware, if say for instance you go in at like 5, right? And you're serving till 10 or something, right? Maybe 11, okay. Just like say for fine dining or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's where the big like 80-20 principle comes in too. It's like you're looking into like tasks that like take a big portion of your time, right? Like if anything that you like for people who are working in not in the industry, right? I mean, if you took a fifth of your time out that you had to do every day, regardless if you wanted to or not, and that was just gone and everything, there's a lot of like emotional reactions too. Like one of my favorites is like the girl is like, oh man, I can spend more time with my cat. You know what I mean? Like, cause then she doesn't have to. There's also, which is the other one that like was wild, is like girls get to go home earlier, so they're not stuck out later, and then that helps like their safety out, so to speak. Like it's crazy stuff like you wouldn't even think, or people just like, I don't know, the value of a human life and getting 2 hours back or 3 hours back is pretty strong, right? And then like that's because so that's the one that like you hear about the most, because that's the one that people are like the most like, I guess, boisterous or like vocal about, mm-hmm. so to speak. But then like as time goes on, then the time savings like, wow, this is like a no-brainer, so to speak. Then it starts to like incorporate itself even further too, right? But the initial reaction is like, wow, this is a piece of history.
Yeah. You know, there's so many repetitive tasks in the kitchen. Between, again, front of house, back of house, polishing glasses, which I know there's polishers exactly. Now. Chopping onions, that's why they make different pieces of equipment to chop those up or slice and dice. It's the things that nobody wants to do, like, but it's a necessity to run the operation. And mm-hmm. guess what? Rolled silverware is one of those things that you absolutely need. I mean, at least for me, because then it makes me know that it's been cleaned, it's rolled, it's going to be sanitary. It's not just open silverware that's just laying on a table, and God knows who's touched it. It can be gross, right?
Yeah, of course.
You know, are you planning on staying laser focused, you know, just on the silverware and getting this bigger and bigger, or you already have other things kind of on the mind to expand Alpha Mated?
So right now, I mean, we've been approached by large organizations for other like automation-esque projects and everything too, right? But is a more or less a if you duty fiscal responsibility to the shareholders to kind of more or less like remain focused at this point and everything too, right? And kind of establish ourselves a market leader in this regard too. I'll be honest, the whole international conversation is popping up a lot quicker than I thought it was going to, because they don't run on tip wage over there, right? And so their labor costs are much higher, so to speak, too. And they don't have the technology over there either, right? And so like that's more or less where I'm seeing the next transitional phase happen for us. Now past that, ask me that question, say like a year or two from now, and I might have a completely different mindset. But I struggle with that because it's like there's so many things that need to be taken care of, right? But there's also like that, how much is too much? And then is there a value proposition tied to like something where it's like monetarily makes sense, right? Like you can automate pretty much anything at this point due to like the advancements in technology, right? But are people are going to pay or find value in that to the point where it actually moves the needle forward too? You know, those are kind of, and then that becomes a market research, customer interviews, a prototyping process and everything too. And like, I know how to do it now, but man, it's not easy by any stretch of the imagination. There's like real time commitment. You got to go in eyes wide open too, right? You'll probably have it take 6 months and everything. If you don't have a ton of like firepower resources or industry leaders behind you, to get real like sense of where you're even headed more or less before you actually start to build it out, so to speak. So, I mean, you're looking at 2-year timeline and everything for like any like brand new like conceptual thing if you're being like actually like realistic, so to speak, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's probably being conservative too, right? Like, and yeah, like you said, that's if you've got the capital, if things are kind of going your way where you're making progress, but if you hit some major hiccups and snafus and snags, it could easily set you back. All the while, you still have to muddle through life. I don't want to say muddle. You still have to survive, right? On a daily basis.
Yeah, of course.
And get through.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably do it much faster than most at this point. But again, to your point, capital, like time restraints, life too. Like I love the space that I'm in, but I also love to do a bunch of other things too as well. And then I don't want that to be my entire existence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When do you think automation, because you said basically anything can be automated, which I agree it can. And there's so many things that I know that robotics are trying to focus on and work on, take out the mundane. But how long do you see, or in your opinion, how long do you think it's going to be before some more of these things are automated and almost mainstream? Like their economy at scale where it makes sense. Obviously, kiosk ordering, like cashiers are kind of phasing out because the kiosk, and it's making more sense. And I think people are adapting to of, I'm going to place my order on my phone and go grab it. Or I know when I walk in, I'm just going to push a button and I don't have to talk to somebody. So again, what's maybe that timeline? And then maybe what do you see as being the next like innovative automation that's going to make a meaningful impact in the kitchens?
Yeah, of course. Timeline. So timeline for introduction to new technology where the general public can have like an initial reaction to it. I think is probably 2 years and everything for a lot of processes that people like more or less are paying attention to, so to speak. Now there's a lot of things under the radar that'll pop up and everything. And I think the industry is just going to take 50 years to uncover everything, you know, or at least 20, but, there's the introduction of it though, too, but then there's general, mass market adoption, so to speak, at scale too. That's probably got to be 3 to 5 years and everything too. Like particularly, say for instance, like a chain rollout, so to speak. Well, there's so many like nuances too. Like, what does the distribution look like? What does support look like? How rigorous is market testing? Right. I mean, chain testing too, in particular. Right. Is there anything like, depending on the automation piece of equipment, like, is there any like hazardous materials? Is there something that could like harm a human, so to speak, too? Right.
Yeah.
Like with us, we don't really have to necessarily worry about that too much. Cause we basically made it to the point where like, you really have to like put effort in to like mess up your hand, so to speak, with this. But like, I'm assuming like, say for instance, like something with like fryer grease or something like that. Like AC or heating or basically anything with like the elements, so to speak, or anything that has a hazardous material tied to it. I think it's going to take like an additional year on top of that. and then general mass market adoption soon acceptance. Yeah, you're probably looking at 3 to 5 for most, but then probably 1 to 2 years within like general like introduction and everything, so to speak. What I think, and this is a, I don't think most people talk about this, but I think my take on this is I think the sense of automation, it's funny I'm saying it too, because I'm in the space, but the general sense of automation, I think, is not what's really going to pay attention, so to speak, to, right? I think what's going to pop up more and more, to, so to speak, and I think this is, quote me on this, probably about a 2-year timeline from now, is you're going to see a different switch in the conversation, the ecosystem of how can we automate processes? How can we reduce labor costs? How can we, once we beat that horse dead, so to speak, we're going to introduce a new one that no one, I think, has really correctly thought about, which is like the human nuance of everything too, and like the general human like element of experience too, right? Like flirting with the bartender is like half the fun of going to the bar for some people, right? If you automate the bar process and everything, you can't really flirt with the robot. Like people, and to act like it's something other than that is just being naive, right? And but also like the human experience of like, I've had so many experiences talking to the waiter or waitress like that have genuinely made my day better, right? Or my experience better, that it, like, even if all the calculable like barometers or whatever are on time and my refill is just right and everything too, right? I mean, I've had recommendations from servers like, oh, Joe, go check out this spot down the way because I'm out of town and everything. End up being a great spot too, like recommendations, like, and then like personal conversations too, right? I think people will start to value that a lot more. And then once you automate the bejesus out of everything, then you're starting to talk more about the human element being reintroduced like tastefully too. Because I think that's a very, very, very important part of hospitality that I think no matter how much automation happens, no matter how cheap things get, no matter how much labor costs or food costs go down, you still need that aspect of it though too. And I think that's going to be the next like thing that's going to happen, so to speak.
Yeah, that's been popping up a lot from people I've been talking to of where is the line drawn on automation and robotics and AI and tech, and when is it that then people are craving that person-to-person connection? I thought we would learn our lesson maybe over COVID when everyone was stuck inside and just going batshit crazy and wanting the personal connection. But here we are still, how do we continue to automate? How do we continue to work on making things easier for everybody? But that human interaction, there's got to be a line somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I think the line is anything that's repeatable, that's a time sink. Okay. That's removed from customer interaction. Okay. So repeatable, time sync, removed from customer interaction. Those are the three that I think are going to be the ones that like are going to get the most attention on too, right? Because it doesn't, like the reason being is because when you can automate something with a processor machine and it's, you therefore mitigate the risk for human error too, right? And the risk for human error can be a direct brand reflection of how something is presented to like a customer, so to speak. But if you have a machine do something perfectly every single time on a repeatable process, that's just going to reflect better than human error doing X, Y, Z, right? Now, where I think the line gets drawn is anything like that's like on the like truly like serving side, so to speak, too, right? And I think you have to break it down and segment it even further too, right? Like Chili's has like their like table side like tablets and everything too, right? And I think that works perfectly, right? But I do not think it's going to work for fine dining and everything, for like an RPM Steakhouse or something like that, or like a Mastro's that like or Cameron Mitchell, where like you almost like need that like extra like pizzazz and rapport building and everything to like push the tip, but also like separate yourselves from like other people in that space, so to speak. Because well, I think knowledgeable staff can like really set the tone for an area like that. You know what I mean?
I think people they're going out for that experience. It's not just, I'm going to eat good food. It's for an experience. I mean, take a look at some of the really, I don't know what you want to call them, put them in their own category, the Ed DeBevics, the Dicks, right? People go there for an experience. It's not like they're saying the food is the most amazing thing on earth.
Yeah,
maybe exactly. It's a guy's trip, whatever it is. And again, even think, as crazy it is, the Hooters, the Twin Peaks, people go there for a specific reason.
Exactly.
It's for the whatever experience they're trying to achieve. They're not going there for automation and necessarily the food being the best food that they've ever eaten, but they want that experience. They want the connection. They want to feel special is probably a better way of putting it. Like you feel like you're everything when you go out to fine dining, because obviously you're paying a premium. But in that premium comes the service that you would expect out of it. And even if they mess something up or something's not just spot on, you're going to overlook that because you're going to say the service was so good that, yeah, they did this, but a lot of times they then corrected it, right? They fixed it on the spot. They did this. Oh, we know we messed up the entree. We overcooked, whatever it is. Here's an extra dessert or here's a voucher for next, whatever it might be. They fix the mistake. And that's, I think, to your point, back people want the human experience. And yeah, we'll hit that tipping point, I'd say probably in the next 5-10 years, to where people go, okay, enough's enough, let's get back to where it was, just like food is going back to its roots and just clean eating and things of that nature.
I think the free dessert has tipped the service over a couple times and everything too. I know people that I've been out with steakhouses, they have a mess up on a meal and they get a free appetizer or dessert, and they're more excited for that than they were the main meal that they order, honestly. I think that, to your point, that's something that we need to be honest about, like people's true like human intentions, right? Like for instance on the Twin Peaks thing or something like that. Like people just need to be transparent and real with that too, right? Because I think that experience thing is like one of the things that like really separates like from eating out to like eating in too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. One piece of advice for aspiring entrepreneurs, people in the hardware space that are physically building. I know we had hit some nuggets earlier, but if you could give them just one piece of advice, what would it be?
One piece of advice. Let me think about this one. I'm trying to curtail it to this group in particular. Hardware in particular.
Well, I just think because it's not a service base.
Yeah.
You know, per se, it's more physical building something.
Try if you can go towards like a HaaS model and everything, so to speak. So hardware as a service, so to speak, which will introduce a reoccurring revenue stream to you, right? Like cash flow is of the essence and everything. Because unless you have like a CPG product with a large brand awareness, right? The thing that you're fighting against and everything is scale and volume too, which is very, very hard for hardware. So you really would like, it'd be smart for you to introduce, whether it's a software component tied to it. For us, it's the consumables. For other companies, it could be something else, so to speak. But it's really, if you can at all, try to introduce that fairly early and try to make that almost your bread and butter, so to speak, because that could give you like healthy cash flow for like market downturns. So there's that portion. And the other thing too is build with conviction and recognize that if you accomplish it within your lifetime, that's still a success, so to speak. There are a lot of people that have a lot of things that they wanted to do and everything. Like the largest spot for potential is in the graveyard, right? And so like you really, if you even take it to this point and even further, right? Like you like give yourself like a pat on the back for that regard too, because you didn't have the audacity to like try to bring something to life that is almost like a legacy piece, so to speak. So like,
yeah,
that you can point to. So like really try to like lean on that, you know what I mean? And like recognize too, just like time, you know what I mean? Like time is going to be always fighting. Like the time, I always tell people the time is going to pass regardless, right? So you might as well do something with it, you know? And so like, if it takes, I can't even imagine, like, for my own personal story, like, if I would have quit, like, in year three or four, you know what I'm saying? Like, what wouldn't have been and what could have not been? I could be fairly early in the journey of another company or whatever, as opposed to much more further along now with this. I just had some stick-to-itiveness too, right? So be open and receptive to feedback. Don't be too damn stubborn, but like also recognize like time is the one factor. Like all of, like Jeff, when you were talking about all the like large companies, right? That back in the day stories, like 1819 or something like that, right? That's 2000 years ago almost, right? You know, yeah, or 200 years ago, whatever. But like that's something like you really like have to like 200 years. Two is not much, you know what I mean, when you're trying to get there, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. In the grand scheme of things. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Evan, where can people go to follow your journey, see what you're doing and everything? Hit them with the socials and everything else.
Yeah. Alpha Mated is the company. Evan All Day is my personal. Feel free to reach out. Evan Degnan on LinkedIn. Yeah, just hit me up. Let me know what's up.
Yeah, awesome. I'll put everything linked in the show notes so people can find, you know, the product, see the videos. It's pretty cool machine when you just watch it. Few people saw it, they'd be like, yeah, that would make my life 10 times easier, and I wouldn't be sitting there rolling silverware. Well, that's it for today. Again, if you want to check out what Evan's got going on, I'll have it in the show notes. So until next time, we'll catch you on the sunny side.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
HospitalityChain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, HospitalityChain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace.